This is the Practical Teaching Tips Podcast. I am your host, Richard James Rogers, high school science and chemistry teacher and author of the award-winning book, The Quick Guide to Classroom Management. Well, hello everybody, and welcome to today's episode on the Practical Teaching Tips Podcast. I am your host, as always, Richard James Rogers. And today, I'm going to be exploring what has become a key word in education, a word that is kind of bandied around and used very often in educational articles and teacher training courses, and that is the word diversity. And in particular, I'm going to be describing some challenges faced by teachers who are working in diverse classrooms. Now, the interesting thing about this is the idea or the kind of the presence of diversity in classrooms is not a new thing, actually. I've been teaching for 16 years now. And I think I've always, ever since I started teaching back in 2006, I've always had diversity in the classroom. I've always worked in diverse classrooms. And it's unfortunate, I think, that when we hear the word diversity today, a lot of people are immediately drawn to think about race, gender, and sexuality. But actually, diversity is much more than that in education, much more. I've worked in schools where there's been incredible economic diversity between the students, and there have literally been haves and have-nots, and that's created challenges. There is, of course, neurodiversity. Children learn in different ways. Some children develop more slowly than others. Some children prefer to do certain types of tasks than others, and they learn better that way. I've worked with children on the autistic spectrum, so there's diversity there. And of course, children of different genders, different races, different cultural backgrounds, different religious beliefs, that there's all kinds of diversity present within the classroom, I think in any school, anywhere in the world. But certainly if you're teaching internationally, as I do. Now, today, I'm going to be reading a guest blog post by Kiara Miller from The Speaking Nerd, who is describing today some challenges that teachers face in diverse classrooms and some of her solutions to meet these challenges, some of her suggestions and tips for dealing with these challenges. So as usual, when I have a guest blog post, I'm going to read the blog post to you, and I will offer some commentary either along the way or at the end of the blog post. So let's begin. What is the first thing that comes to mind when you hear the word diversity? Most people will come up with a variety of answers, which may include race, gender, economic background, or even neurodiversity. As educators, we must first be able to recognize diversity when we see it, which isn't always obvious, and then work to both embrace it and manage the challenges posed by it. Classrooms are becoming more and more diverse as international travel and the ability to work overseas become easier, migration increases, and neurodiversity becomes easier to diagnose. The cost of living crisis has also hit schools and families hard, and we are seeing more children coming to class without the tech tools that some of their more affluent peers may have, or even basic essentials such as stationery. Diversity is a growing reality of the modern world. Whether it's in the education sector, communities, the workplace, or political realm, the age of diversity is here to stay. Diversity generally refers to the state of varying dimensions. Diversity commonly captures the differences among people. For example, culturally, politically, socially, and even religious aspects. Diversity also takes into consideration age, social background, ethnicity, nationality, sexual orientation, race, and belief differences among people. Like in any other area of life, diversity in education presents administrators with both opportunities and challenges. Diversity in the classroom is an excellent avenue for teaching the immensity of the world we live in. When students are introduced to the vastness of the world we live in, they learn to embrace differences at the personal, regional, national, and global levels. They also attain better insights and skills. Diversity in the classroom can exist due to varying intellectual abilities or learning disabilities, interpersonal or social skills, beliefs, and even language differences. And that's a big one, everybody, just my own commentary here. That's definitely a big area of diversity that I've had to deal with all the time I've been a teacher, even when I started teaching back in 2006 in the UK. Coming from Wales myself, I worked with students who had first language Welsh, and many students who had first language English. So there were language differences. Even in a native English speaking country like the UK, there were language differences among students. Also, there was a lot of immigration at that time from Eastern Europe. And there were students coming to my classes from Lithuania and Poland and all over Eastern Europe who had English as an additional language. And that was way back in 2006, 2007. And since then, I've been teaching internationally here in Thailand and a little bit in China. And of course, big, big differences in language capabilities of students. And that poses challenges for teachers. Anyway, let me carry on with the blog post. Diversity in educational institutions, including universities, isn't a myth due to a range of factors like globalization, technological advancements, and scalability goals. However, despite the fact that the world is now a global village, diversity presents a range of issues. Within classrooms, diversity cultivates several challenges for teachers, and these include the following. So finally, we get on to the challenges. Let's find out what they are. Number one, complex disciplinary issues. Diversity in the classroom can cultivate a new set of disciplinary issues. Their complexity can also exacerbate due to equality and inclusion problems in the educational institution, or even the fixed mindset nature of school leadership. Some teachers may find it difficult to manage learners of diverse backgrounds, gender, religion, and different languages. It can significantly worsen behavioral issues and also lead to teacher burnout. In situations like this, teachers who lack emotional intelligence and professional agility may find it hard to prevent and control disciplinary issues. Leaders, on the other hand, must check their leadership styles in order to exercise authority as per the extent of diversity. There are different leadership theories, and understanding plus assessing their efficacy can help teachers manage diversity effectively. The most common disciplinary issues in a diverse classroom may be aggression, bullying, disrespect, and defiance. And I have to admit, everybody, I've actually seen this firsthand. If you teach internationally, for sure, you will start to see patterns sometimes in the cultural and international backgrounds of some groups of students and the kind of behavioral problems that they bring to the table. You will sometimes see racism in schools happen. It doesn't tend to happen often, I have to admit, because most international schools are pretty well set up. They have a good school ethos, good vision and mission, which is what I always talk about. But it does happen from time to time. And you'll also find that students have come from a range of different educational backgrounds as well. I mean, just yesterday, I was talking to a student who had visited our school, and she was from a country in Asia. And in her school, she was a secondary school student, so she was around about 14, 15. And in her school, they would sit in the same classroom all day, and the teachers would go to the classroom and teach them, that the students wouldn't walk around and go from class to class. And they would have their own table the whole year. Everything was kind of in a fixed position, a fixed physical position, even to the extent where their lunch was brought to them, to their homeroom, to their classroom. So that's a very different system to what many teachers who listen to me in the UK and the United States are used to. And most of my listeners are from the UK and the United States. And you know, when students come from such diverse educational backgrounds like that, you can find that there are transition problems, there are teething problems, particularly when students are coming to a school which is really different to what they're used to. And of course, you know, language issues can cause things like isolation. Sometimes it can lead to teasing between students and bullying. So there can be a range of complex variables that can lead to behavior management issues in the classroom. Now, Kiara has described them as disciplinary issues. I like to think of this kind of area of pedagogy as behavior management. I think that's a good way to look at it. Now, carrying on with the blog post, Kiara says, in these situations, teachers need to exercise, as she says, and as I've said, excellent overall, behavior management skills, and communicate regularly with heads of phase, line managers, senior leadership, school counselors, and even parents to gather information and respond appropriately to what may turn out to be a range of evolving scenarios. Now, I agree with this. In my experience, it's always best to nip any behavior management issues in the bud as soon as they arise, before they turn into anything bigger. And also to use understanding, to be flexible, but at the same time, to be fair and consistent. You can't go sanctioning one student for a particular behavior and then not sanction another student who's carried out the same or similar behavior, like a missing homework, for example, or, you know, teasing another student in class. So that takes good communication. It takes good communication between you as the teacher, the students involved, senior leadership, heads of year are very good as well, pastoral heads. I've gained a lot of insight and help and just awesome professional expertise from the many brilliant heads of year and pastoral heads and heads of phase I've worked with over the years. I mean, they really can be a very useful fountain of wisdom. So definitely utilize the expertise of your colleagues if you're ever dealing with behavior management issues that are related to diversity. Number two, communication and language issues. This is a big one, everybody. With the fact that students may come from different backgrounds and nationalities, there may be a language barrier. It may be difficult for teachers to communicate with students from other regions or nations. With such communication inefficiencies, it becomes difficult for students to understand the concepts in the classroom. Now, before I carry on with Kiara's blog post, I think this is really important to point out. When we are teaching any class of students, we really have to make sure that our vocals are really, really clear. Even if you're teaching native English speakers in the UK or the United States, you have to speak clearly and loudly. Now, of course, me teaching here in Thailand at an international school, I'm very aware of this, because if I use my North Wales local accent from Flint, which is where I'm from, a small town in North Wales. And I use that accent in my teaching. Students are just not going to understand me. I mean, many British people wouldn't understand every word I said if I was using my local Flint accent. You know, here's an example. So in classic English, I might say, hi, how are you? I hope you're well today. Whereas if I was in Flint talking with my mates in the pub, I would say, you all right, Jono? How's things? Yeah, sound, mate, sound as a pound. So it's, as you can see, it's totally different. So we do have to be very careful, no matter where we're teaching, about the colloquialisms we're using, the clarity of our vocals, the clarity of our language. I worked with a teacher a few years ago who came to the school I was working at here in Thailand. And this person came from a part of Wales, South Wales, in which people had a very thick accent. And she had a very thick Welsh accent. And to be honest with you, even when I was talking to this person myself, coming from North Wales, I had difficulty understanding this person. And she was using this accent in the classroom with students from Asia and from all over the world, actually, who just could not understand a very local British accent. And I think we really do have to be aware of that, everyone, particularly when we're teaching students from diverse international backgrounds. But not just that, even native English speaking children. Maybe you're in the UK now and you're working with local children and they all speak the same accent. Don't assume that just because you're British and they're British, or you're American and your students are American, that they will understand you if you use your local accent. We have to slow down. We have to speak clearly. We have to speak loudly. It's so, so crucial that. Anyway, let's carry on with the blog post. So Kiara says, with such communication inefficiencies, it becomes difficult for students to understand the concepts in the classroom. It will also require a teacher to leverage creative teaching strategies that can help learners comprehend material better. On the other hand, foreign students may find it hard to communicate their needs or attain the help they need. This can trigger feelings of loneliness and depression in students. Yes, I've seen that one. I've seen that one as well, everybody, many times actually, where there's students who want to tell you something, but they can't get it out. They don't know how to express what they want. And when students are trying and they're not being heard or they're not being noticed, some students can just shut down and they can just stop trying. It's so important whenever you notice that you really do proactively reach out to try and help these students and check on them and make sure they're okay. And again, utilize whatever resources you can. If you've got other students in the school who speak the same language as that student, try and use them if possible. You know, speak slowly, speak clearly. Sometimes if you're lucky, you might even be able to get a translator, particularly if you're working in the international sector. But it's so important that we don't ignore those students who are trying to ask for help, but don't have the language capabilities to do so. Number three, observance of holidays. Diversity in a classroom requires a proper approach to inclusion. Failure can trigger feelings of injustice and poor conduct among students. This means that the institution must ensure they celebrate cultural and belief differences. For example, it must recognize official public holidays like Christmas, Independence Day, and others. This helps to prevent student outrage. Now, I agree with Kiara to some extent, but also I have to say, there's only so much that schools can do with this. Obviously, the local demographic and the local culture and perhaps even the religion of the school, if it's a religious school, you know, that is what has to prevail. You know, you can't be pandering to the needs of every single student. You know, if you've got students from all over the world and it's you know, it's a national holiday in their country, or it's a religious holiday, you know, does that mean you shut the school on every day that every kid has a holiday? No, it doesn't. Of course it doesn't. Now, do you allow certain students time off when it's a religious holiday, or it's a special cultural holiday they have? Well, that depends very much on the situation. I would say probably yes, you should, as long as provisions are put in place to help that student catch up, or as long as that student knows that they have a responsibility to catch up afterwards. I think schools have to be flexible about this. But of course, you know, there's only so much schools can do to accommodate the national or religious or cultural holidays that students and families might have. Now, number four, teamwork and collaboration issues. Diversity in the classroom also impacts teamwork and collaboration. Differences among students can either help them learn how to collaborate, or they can prevent them from working together. This can present complications in teaching such students, as they may not be willing to interact with others in order to attain new insights. In this case, students become highly teacher dependent. In the long run, it increases pressure on the teacher's side. This is a weird one, this, guys. I've noticed problems when putting students into groups when they come from diverse backgrounds. Probably the biggest, most obvious way this manifests is when students have come to a school and it's a very well-embedded school culture and everybody knows each other, and these students are kind of outsiders that have come in and they don't know the history of the school. Everything's new to them. It can be very nerve-wracking, particularly for older students, actually, when they're trying to make new friends and they're trying to fit in with other students, particularly if they're from a completely different cultural background or language background, or they've lived in a totally different country. And I've worked with many such students, and when you put such students in groups, there can be conflicts of interest. Some students might be a bit more pushy than others. Some students might be a bit more submissive than others. And that can have cultural roots. Language, of course, can create issues. So this is something you really have to monitor. I always advise choosing groups for students. It's been a very long time since I've ever allowed students to choose the groups they work in, because there's almost always one or two students who are isolated. They're left behind. You know, they might not have many friends in that particular class, and it's always embarrassing for them. And also, if you allow students to choose their groups, you'll often find that they'll choose people who they can mess around with, or people who they can speak their native language with. And if you're trying to encourage students to speak English, for example, then you might want to mix up the groups a bit, so there's different language backgrounds there. So group work does definitely pose a challenge in the diverse classroom. I would say that teachers have got to think about which students are going to work best with each other. Think about the ability of the students in the group. And I know that's difficult when you've just met the students. You might have to make a quick assessment to begin with. But as time goes by, you should get an idea of which students are the strongest in your class, who are in the middle, who are towards the bottom. Try and mix them up where possible. There should be at least one strong student in a group to try and pull the others up, if possible. And of course, again, the language thing is something to watch out for. And also spot students who are natural leaders. Spot students who are naturally good at getting things done. Maybe there are students who you notice have special tech skills, and are really good at doing special things like animations or Google Docs, Google Sites, Google Slides, or students who have experience with stop motion animations or something. And so try and spread out the tech skills as well within the classroom. And this does take time to figure out. It's not easy at first, but definitely over time, you will start to build up a picture of what those students are capable of and how best to group them. Okay, carrying on with the blog post, number 5, individual differences. Diversity in the classroom can increase the likelihood of individual differences. Students may fail to recognize and respect each other due to their race, culture, or ethnic orientation. Such differences can affect communication and collaboration in a classroom. It may also prevent students from conducting group assignments or collaborating during extra co-curricular activities. This can hinder progress and academic achievement. Yeah, I mean, I agree with that as well. Sometimes you'll get students from a completely different cultural background. They come to a school, they stick out like a sore thumb because they're the only student in the school who has that particular profile, let's say. And sometimes that can make the student even more, that make their culture and their background and their belief in themselves and their personality even more embedded, and they can become even more segregated, I guess, or isolated. And of course, as teachers, we must always, always embrace diversity. We must always educate our students that we come from all walks of life. We should always respect each other. But you will sometimes find that students who come to particularly a school that has a very strong culture and a strong background, a strong history, with peer groups that have known each other for a long time, and these outside students come in, they can often find it very hard to integrate. And as teachers, we must help in that transition process. We have to put these students in groups. We have to quickly get to know these students. We have to make other students aware of their abilities, their strengths, get them collaborating, get them working in groups. And keeping an eye on them and being vigilant as well is very, very important. So, great suggestion there. Now, Kiara does, at the end of this blog post, offer some suggestions for managing these challenges. So I'm going to read these to you now. Diverse classrooms require a unique art of classroom management, whether at K-12, college, or vocational level. Diversity challenges are surely predicted to increase, and their management may prove difficult in case educators aren't professionally trained in this area. A lack of professional experience in managing diverse classroom environments can increase behavioural issues and also affect students' academic performance. Diversity management in classrooms requires a range of guidelines to be set and followed. First and foremost, the educational institution must be open to equality and inclusion. Absolutely, I totally agree with that. Equality and inclusion in educational institutions are fundamental for creating a positive learning environment. 100% agree with that. Generally, an environment that can help students learn, share ideas, collaborate, we've heard that again, and cultivate quality networks is the goal. Additionally, there should be programs to help students learn the common language to improve communication. Yeah, I mean, I'll on that point as well, if you're working in a school where the language of instruction is English, for example, and students are coming in and English is not their first language, and you know they might not have a working vocabulary of 1,000 words, which is usually the benchmark. There needs to be support for those students. There needs to be extracurricular activities, even if it's software support, you know, even if your school maybe doesn't have the manpower to or the expertise to run some kind of a club or class to help that student, there are programs out there, there's software programs that can help students. I mean, that is better than nothing, isn't it? For English, one of the programs I really like is called Lexia Learning. Once again, that's Lexia Learning, L-E-X-I-A. L-E-A-R-N-I-N-G, Lexia Learning. You might also have heard of Sora as well, S-O-R-A, Sora, which is a reading app that can help students with their English reading comprehension. Anyway, carrying on. So Kiara says, additionally, there should be programs to help students learn the common language to improve communication. That should be emphasized before joining an educational institution or within the first few months of commencement. I agree. You know, you don't want to be trying to intervene, you know, years into a student's education. It needs to be done right away. Besides that, there should be no partiality or favoritism. Totally agree. School rules and policies must apply to all students to ensure respect for all cultures and individuals. With this, chances of disciplinary issues will be reduced and teachers will be able to manage classrooms better. Well, thank you, Kiara Miller. If you're listening to this, that was a really interesting blog post. And for everyone listening, that blog post you just heard can be found at my website, which is richardjamesrogers.com. Once again, that's richardjamesrogers.com. And the link to that blog post is in this podcast episode description. So please check out that that blog post. I'll also embed this podcast episode into the blog post as well. I always think diversity is a really interesting subject because nowadays people have, paradoxically, diversity has kind of been narrowed down today, which I just find strange because whenever you mention diversity to the average person today, immediately they're thinking of race, ethnic background, religion, sexuality, gender. But it's so, so much more than that. And looking back to even when I was in school as a British school kid in North Wales, way back in the 90s and early 2000s, there was huge diversity in my school, and most of us were white British children. The overwhelming majority of us were. But there was loads of diversity. I mean, there were differences between boys and girls. There were differences between what we brought from our local towns and our local areas. There's a lot of subcultures in the UK. Where I come from, in Flint in North Wales, there are certain things that boys were expected to be back then. You know, we were expected kind of to be strong, masculine guys. You know, it was kind of cool to be hard back then. And what that meant was you were tough, you were strong, you weren't afraid to fight. These were kind of the unwritten expectations of boys and men from my hometown. There's even different accents depending on where people come from. Even in a small area like Northeast Wales, where I'm from, you know, people in Flint speak differently to people from Wrexham, who speak differently to people from Chester. You know, there's these differences. There's diversity even there. And of course, one of the obvious diversity issues or areas that come up when we're in school is our abilities, our favourite subjects. I was always very much into mathematics and science. I just loved those subjects. I hated music. For some reason, I just wasn't very good at it. I liked art, but I didn't really take it seriously. I think that was a mistake on my part, because now in this modern age of graphic design and thumbnails and NFTs, art is actually more important than it's ever been before. But, you know, we have diversity in what we're interested in. There's diversity in cultural expectations. where we come from, there's diversity within the family. So, you know, diversity really is everywhere. And I think we've got to stop pretending that diversity just means people of different color or people of different sexuality or different genders. It's much, much, much more than that. And it always has been. And it's very important, I think, that as educators, we start looking for diversity more often in our classrooms. It's so easy to assume that just because students look the same and might appear to act the same ways or might perhaps come from the same country or have the same or similar cultural background, we might think those students are all the same, but they're not. You know, everyone's different. Every individual person is different. I mean, my goodness, the diversity between me and my brother, Jonathan, is just huge. You know, just me and my brother from the same family. He has tattoos all the way up his arms and I have no tattoos. He smokes, I don't, you know. He drinks a lot, I don't drink. You know, there's diversity there. So we've got to stop pretending that diversity is just made up of these modern buzzwords. You know, it's always been around and there's so much diversity everywhere. And we've really got to teach our students that diversity is the spice of life. The differences between human beings is what makes us interesting. And we should definitely embrace that. Without diversity, we wouldn't have teams that can solve problems. It just wouldn't happen, would it? Think about it. You know, if you're working with a team of people trying to fix something, what do you often find? You find that members of your team come up with ideas that you would never have thought of. That happens to me all the time. Why is that? It's because we're diverse. You know, if I worked with a team of teachers who were all a clone of me, wow, I think I'd want to quit after about 2 days. I'd just get bored, you know? And I think it's just strange that as humanity, we've kind of lost this idea. We've lost touch with this idea that we're all different, you know, that we're all diverse. Even if you're in a room full of everyone from the same ethnic background, you know, you're in a room full of Thai people, or everyone's Japanese in a room, or everyone's British in a room, or everyone's white in a room, or everyone's black in a room. You know, even in those situations, everyone's different. There's diversity between everyone. So we've really just got to, I think, start using some common sense with regards to what diversity actually means. And also understanding that diversity has always brought challenges to the classroom. And when we start introducing diversity in the form of culture, religion, ethnicity, international background, then we've got additional challenges that come into play. Language backgrounds, that brings additional challenges. And we've got to learn how to spot those differences and how to manage those differences and embrace those differences. So thank you, everybody. I really enjoyed making this podcast episode. I hope it was interesting. I hope it was particularly poignant for my listeners in the UK. Most of my listeners are in the UK, according to the Spotify data I have. Most of my listeners are actually on Apple Podcasts, but I've only got the demographic data from Spotify. But I do hope it was interesting. I hope it was useful. Wherever you are, all around the world, you're very, very welcome to this podcast. I'm so honoured to be able to reach so many teachers all over the world with these episodes. Please provide me with feedback. Please email me at info@richardjamesrogers.com. One more time, that's info@richardjamesrogers.com. If you've got a topic suggestion that you have, I mean, I'm really just bringing up these topics as my guest bloggers and my ideas and my guest blogger ideas come up. But if you have any suggestions, please let me know, because I really want to make this podcast as relevant and as useful as possible. So thank you, everyone. Until next time, take care, enjoy teaching. Bye-bye for now.